Welcome to the God in the Ordinary podcast, an interview show for believers looking for encouragement in how to reveal God in their everyday. Your host, singer-songwriter Sharon Tedford.
When sport is your passion, how can you use it to reveal God? Today's guest is a sportswoman and coach who's linked arms with an international organisation that spreads truth on sports fields all over the world. My guest, FCA Area Representative Shelley Small. I am very pleased to welcome my friend, Shelley Small. Shelley, thanks so much for joining us. Tell us where you are today.
Oh, Sharon, I'm so excited to be here with you all. I am joining you from beautiful 65-degree Colorado Springs. It's sunny. I can see Pikes Peak out my window, and we can hear the Air Force planes flying over. So it's a great place to be, but always a lot of activity in the skies.
So this is a place to go if you like hiking and you like aircraft.
That's exactly right. We actually have 5 military installations right here in Colorado Springs. We've got the Air Force Academy. We've got Peterson Air Force Base, Schriever Air Force Base. We've got Fort Carson Army Base. We've got NORAD inside of Cheyenne Mountain. The Space Force is here. Yes, it's an interesting place here in Colorado Springs.
It's the place to be, and it's gorgeous. I have visited. It's beautiful. So, Shelley, thank you for joining us. As you know, we always ask all of our guests to share a reflection on Isaiah 61. So can you please share with us your reflection?
Absolutely. I would love to. One of the most spectacular parts of God's beauty in the state of Colorado is the rainbow, often reflected clearly in duplicate and even triplicate after an afternoon shower. Because there are no tall buildings or skyscrapers to block the views, one can see many of these rainbows from end to end. While the pot of gold remains elusive, God's promises are not. He gently reminds us of His faithfulness and everlasting commitment to us with every color. I hear God's promises echoing throughout Isaiah 61, the words washing over me like the anointing oil of the Old Testament. 18 times the word will is used, each in conjunction with a hopeful action for those with a newly found faith in God and for a saved nation. They will rebuild. They will restore. They will renew. They will be called the Lord's priests. They will rejoice. They will be called righteous. God reminds us that He has made a permanent covenant with us, even promising a double portion, just like the double rainbow. Jesus used the words from Isaiah when He spoke at the synagogue in Nazareth, declaring that the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Old Testament priests were anointed with oil as a commitment to the work they were doing for the Lord. It was an outward sign that there was real spiritual work going on inside them. Could there be any greater responsibility than that of being anointed? Jesus was anointed to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, and to open prison doors. What an instruction manual for the rest of us. We cannot avoid God's purpose for us. We have all been born, every single person within the sound of my voice, for such a time as this, seeking His will and resting in His promises, even in the midst of the chaos and craziness and evil of this world, is beyond exciting. Knowing God has chosen us for this very time.
Shelley, you're joining us today because you work for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which I mentioned at the very beginning of the show. So would you tell us a bit about your role in that organization? And also, for those who don't know, why the organization exists?
The Fellowship of Christian Athletes is an organization that was actually started back in the early 1950s. So it's been around a long time. The history is just fascinating. There was a man named Don McLennan who, at the time, in the early 50s, he was noticing how our professional athletes were just worshipped as heroes. And he wanted to do something about that to just sort of take the focus off of athletes and place that focus on Jesus Christ. And he actually said something that was so interesting. He wrote this letter to 19 different athletes. Some of them were professional athletes. Some of them were college athletes and coaches. And some of them were actually gold medal Olympians. So here's what he said, or part of what he said in his letter. He said, "For some time, I've had the idea of forming an organization of athletes and coaches in this hero-worshipping nation of ours. If athletes can endorse shaving cream, razor blades, and cigarettes, surely they can endorse the Lord, too." Now, keep in mind, this was 1954. So my idea is to form an organization that would project you as Christian men before the youth and athletes of our nation. And so this letter actually became the beginnings of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And obviously, you know, it first focused on male athletes and coaches, and obviously that changed rather quickly. But I thought the foundation of our organization was just so important. And even back in the 50s, you know, that kind of hero worship that we see in professional and college sports now especially was really a big deal. And Don McLennan knew that something needed to be done about that. And so later on in that year, FCA was founded as an organization. And a couple of years after that, FCA had their very first camp, which was here in Colorado in Estes Park at the YMCA of the Rockies. And for those who don't know, camp is a huge part of FCA. And not just big multi-sport camps, which we do have every summer, but we also have specific sport camps throughout the summers usually. And that's just been a really big part of our ministry.
Well, while we're talking about that, why don't you unpack that? What is a sport camp or a multi-sport camp? Don't forget, people in the UK don't often have that kind of thing available to them at all, but our American audience obviously will have. So tell us about what you do and how you at the FCA do it a little bit differently from maybe just sport camps.
You know, attending camps is such a vital part of growing up and understanding who you are as a Christian, as an athlete. You get to go away from your normal life, and you get to go somewhere where you're just completely unplugged. And in the case of FCA, you get to focus on your sport and getting better at your sport, and also learning how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this marriage of sport and faith is really the foundation of FCA. And so we have always found that utilizing our camps as part of our ministry is such a vital part of our youth in growing in their relationships with Christ.
Shelley, obviously, as you talk, it's clear about your passion for sport. So where did you begin your love for sport? Have you always been involved in something sporty in your career?
Oh, yes. Sports have been a huge part of my life since grade school. I loved competing against other people. I loved challenging myself to be the best that I could be and to be in the best shape I could possibly be in. I found a great love for team sports. Even at a young age, I just thought it was so valuable, and there were so many life lessons in learning to play with a team and, you know, everyone being on the same page, trying to achieve the same goal. And of course, I also loved winning. And, you know, that can come with some positive situations, but some not so great either, you know, because when you love winning a little too much, it can remove the focus where God really wants it to be and really quickly place it where the world wants it to be. You know, there are people that think, well, God doesn't care about sports, does he? And I really think that he does. As long as we are participating and competing in a way that reflects him, not in a way where our opponents are our enemies, where we're competing to give back to Jesus Christ the talents that he's given us. You know, I think our culture, our world has turned sports into something that it really shouldn't be. I think we've all seen examples of teams and programs and coaches who want to win at all costs. But as a young athlete, I found myself kind of in that same situation at times. I've always considered myself a Christian athlete, but I was well into my college career at Baylor University. I played volleyball at Baylor. I began to understand what it meant to be an athlete who competed for Christ. You know, there was a difference between being a Christian athlete and then really understanding what it meant to compete for him. And, you know, it took me even longer to grasp my identity and wrestle it away from the worldly myths which say that, you know, I am an athlete, I am a volleyball player, I am the scoreboard. I am a win or a loss. You know, I am my statistics. And Sharon, I really struggled with this throughout my college career. And it even followed me into my career as a coach. I had a very difficult time separating my identity as an athlete and as a coach from who I really am as a child of God, a daughter of Jesus Christ. And it's been a process. It still continues on. If there's anything that I feel that I can share with young athletes and young coaches that I think would have changed my whole career as an athlete and a coach, it is about identity. And just how we're taught by what we see in sport, we're taught that you're only as good as your last game, or you're only as good as your last award or your statistics, you know. And boy, that has been a very challenging piece of this whole sports and faith combination, you know.
So if I can ask you a personal question, Shelley, how did you move away from I am not just my last game or my last score? What was it that shifted your mind to realize, oh, no, actually, I'm a child of the King. I'm most loved daughter of Jesus. What are the steps between that?
It has really taken me a long time to understand that my identity has nothing to do with what I do, with who I am as an athlete. That is not what God has set before us. You know, no matter what you do, if you're a musician, if you are an athlete, if you're a teacher, if you're a doctor, you are not those things. You are not those careers, those professions. You are a child of God, and those are just things that you do. Those are things that He has blessed you with. Those are talents that He has given you. But you know, all of that can be taken away so quickly. And I think when I started to really learn this lesson, it was at times when either as an athlete or as a coach, sports were taken away from me. You know, in high school, I had a situation, and quite honestly, I didn't really understand this for a few years, but we had a very strong high school volleyball program, and we were moving through our season, and we were winning and winning, and everything was going so well. This was my senior year in high school, and unfortunately, I had a little bit of my priorities were not exactly what they should have been. My emphasis in high school was really about sports, and I put way too much of it into sports. You know, again, I was a Christian athlete, but I wasn't understanding what it meant to to use all of my gifts and my sports for him. And on a day that we were to go and play for the championship of our district and then to move on to the state tournament, our principal called us into his office. And we were excited. We thought, well, that's really neat. A little pep talk before we get on the bus and go and win our next match. And we were excited. And so we went down to his office, and it was really dark, and the blinds were pulled. And I thought, wow, this is not much of a pep rally. And, you know, it just didn't quite have that feeling. And our principal went on to say, we have, you know, been looking through the records of all of you and your teammates just to make sure everybody has passed their classes and such. And we have found that there's been a discrepancy about one class for one of your teammates. And we look around the room, and sure enough, that one teammate was not in there, nor was my coach. And he said, a class was failed during the last semester. And you know, in my mind, in my teenage mind, you know, all I cared about was when the next game was. He said, for every match, even every set that she took part in, that we would have to forfeit. So you could see everybody just kind of playing through that and trying to think, gosh, when did she go in? And we had been so successful that we'd get really far ahead of teams. And so people that normally wouldn't play in a match would get to play it, maybe one or two points. And sure enough, she had gotten in every single set for that entire season. And so in a matter of about 3 minutes, we went from, you know, being, I can't remember what our record was, but 24-3 to 0-27, just like that. And so our senior year and my high school career was just suddenly gone. Now, when your identity is completely in the fact that you are an athlete and you are a volleyball player, and then it's ripped out from under you, then, you know, what do you have? What is left for you as a, you know, a young person? It took me a long time to really grasp this lesson God had been teaching me. And, you know, I just couldn't even talk about it for years. It was so devastating as a, you know, as a high school athlete. And so, you know, the first part of understanding your identity in Christ is that, you know, if this was taken away from you, where are you or who are you? You know, this was my first lesson in learning just what my identity really should have been. And, you know, I'm a child of God, and I want all of our athletes and our coaches to know the same thing, because sports don't last forever and it can be taken away from you very, very quickly. And, you know, you must know your foundation and you must know your true identity.
Thank you. That's really, really true. I just want to explain to some of our listeners here that if you're not passing all your classes, you can't partake in anything outside of school, be that theater or band or sport, because education does come first, although sometimes the amount of hours that you spend training, you do wonder that. So thank you for sharing that. So it's really important what you just said. We have to think about, what if that was taken away from us? When I stopped teaching to have our first child, I said to a friend of mine, oh, I used to be a teacher. And she said, you know, you might want to shift that to be, I used to teach, because you're going to be a teacher because it's what God's put inside of you, but you might not be going to school to earn a wage, but you are a teacher. It's a spiritual gift. So that's a different thing. But you know, it isn't who I am. It still is what I do. In your reflection, you very interestingly taught me something new. You said that the word will appears 18 times in Isaiah 61. And that was so interesting and a lovely fresh observation for me. And it's striking to me that someone like you, an athlete, has picked up on that word, because as far as I know, you need to have a strong will as an athlete. So how do you balance being strong-willed and flexing to God's will?
You know, I think athletes are expected to be strong, you know, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally too. And, you know, I've always thought it very interesting and challenging as I look at athletes who I know are not believers, you know, and how must they go about the daily grind of pushing themselves to be the best. You know, I think there's just such a difference in playing and coaching for the Lord and, on the other hand, doing it just for yourself. Because sports can be the most selfish. As we look at our professional athletes and the incredible salaries that they receive, sometimes I just find myself just laughing at so-and-so who has now received a $235 million contract, you know, for the next 5 years. And it blows my mind that we've put such emphasis on sports in such a, oh gosh, just a carnal.
It's out of balance, isn't it?
It's so out of balance. And so, you know, balancing your will and God's will. Oh, I just think it's such a perfect combination. I keep using the word marriage. It's such a perfect marriage between sport and faith. And when you really grasp that God does love competition and he, you know, he tells us not to fight in such a way that we just beat the air. But, you know, he's really saying we play to win, right? My college coach used to say, play to win, don't play to not lose. And that quote really, it taught me so much. And it really sort of allowed me to free myself up. And as I competed every day, to really seek God's will in everything that I did, in my leadership, in my character, in what, you know, my opponents might see on the other side of the net, what my teammates would see. You know, it really changed everything. And I know that there are wonderful, incredible athletes who are not believers, but I have a feeling if you were to dig deep, or maybe not so deep, there would probably be a lot of selfishness involved.
I think you're right. Thanks for sharing that story. I've heard coaches say every rep counts. I have done a little bit of sort of athletic stuff. I would not call myself an athlete, but I've done some of those outside camps where you do crazy things and they say every rep counts, which means every one more press up counts, every one counts. And I know that in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the FCA, you use that phrase too, but you use it a little bit differently. Can you tell us about that?
I'll be the first to say I am one of those coaches who uses that also. I always want my athletes to know that, you know, that we don't waste a play, we don't waste a ball, that every rep does count because, you know, what you do in your training, what you do behind the scenes is what's going to count in a competition. And yes, you know, each year FCA selects, it's typically just one word that is our focus for the year. And in 2022, the word was or is every. And so it fits perfectly with every rep counts. FCA looks at this word every. In fact, the shirt I'm wearing right now, our word every comes from Ephesians 1:3, where every spiritual gift is from the Lord. You know, FCA's vision is to see the world transformed by Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes. And we do that through the mission of leading every coach and athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. And that word every, it can be quite daunting. It can seem a little bit out of our grasp. But of course it is. We can't do our ministry without the leading and the guiding of the Lord. And so we want to look at everyone through Christ in every way like Christ and every day with Christ. And so our mission to reach out to every single coach and athlete that we come in contact with, you know, the every rep counts. We have a challenge that involves the book of Ephesians. You can actually go on FCAEvery.com www.shellyyoung.org, and you can download, I think it's a 17-page devotional book, and walk through the book of Ephesians with other, you know, like-minded coaches and athletes. It really focuses on that word every, and that every day, in every way, you know, in everything that we do, our minds and our focus and our hearts should be on Christ. And, you know, that's what FCA is about.
You're listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, Shelley Small. So what's your goal for the athletes who've been through the FCA programs? What's your hope for those you have already discipled?
Going back to what my role is in FCA, is I'm an area representative for the Southwest Colorado Springs area. I've got six schools and school districts in my area. And so, you know, we go on to the campuses and we first work to and through the coaches. And by establishing relationships with the coaches on campus, then we get to establish relationships with the athletes. And it could look a little bit different depending on the school, the size of the school, the location of the school. We have what we call huddles. And a huddle is a Bible study. Like I said before, we've got FCA Bibles and resources and devotions that we use that are obviously sport related. And at one of my schools, we have just a multi-sport huddle. And so all of the athletes from all different sports, male and female, will gather once a week, and one of the coaches or teachers or sponsors, or even me, will lead those athletes through a devotion. And on some other campuses, we have sport-specific huddles. So, for example, on another campus, I might have a football huddle, a hockey huddle, a girls' softball huddle. So those are really neat too, and that's a big focus of ours too, that we get to do a sport-specific huddle. That way you're really working with your own team in your own sport, and you know, you can really personalize that devotion or that Bible study to really help your team. And it's just amazing, Sharon, what you see happen in a school, what you see happen on campus. Because, you know, let's be honest, the student athletes that are involved in extracurricular activities, they play a very special role in the leadership of their schools. And it's just really a very special thing. And then we also do coaches' huddles. So I'm about to start a brand new coaches' Bible study at a school that's literally in my neighborhood. And so, see, it can look a little different at every campus. But regardless of, you know, what it looks like as far as the huddles that you get to have or get to start at your schools, it will all make a difference in that campus. And that's what's the most exciting thing, is just to watch God make plans and just go, you know, go before me. And, you know, every campus that I work on is very different. And some have big challenges. And then it's a really amazing thing to watch come together the way He wants it to come together. And I'm just really blessed to be a part of this organization.
Thank you, Shelley. It's really clear that God is revealing Himself through you and through the other people that you work with in your organization to kids and young adults in sport. It's important that they know Jesus too. So if people want to get involved, how can they? Do you have people that can support through prayer, or maybe they want to work for the organization? What are the different ways that people can get involved?
That's great. Obviously, prayer would be first. That's the most important thing. Just praying for our ministry, praying for the various campuses that we get to be a part of. You know, sometimes it's not so easy when you show up at a school and people don't really want to see you. And so, you know, it can be a challenge. I'm making it sound like it's pretty easy just to go and have a Bible study at a school, and that's really not the case at all.
Thank you for saying that. I think that's really important, actually. That is a behind the scenes that sometimes we don't recognize, but you've pushed through and you still do it. So I just wanted to point that out. It's not always easy, but it's worth it.
That is correct. And, you know, just recently I've had a young lady from a school in an area of town that is known for New Age beliefs, witchcraft, all kinds of very challenging things. And she came to me and we sat down and we are really praying about how we can be a part of her campus. You know, the financial piece is huge. We do raise our own support. That's always a challenging part. But when God called me to do this, there was a time when I thought, I can't do this financial piece. I don't know how to do this. So at that time, I chose not to do it. And then a couple of years later, he called me again. And this time, I knew I had to let go of that part, that piece, because I had tried to hold on to it myself. And God provides. Oh, how he provides. Of course, it's ongoing. It doesn't stop. There are financial pieces to a ministry that people don't think about. You know, we show up at practices with Gatorades or Powerades for all the athletes. We have the need to buy Bibles, to buy different devotions and resources that we use. Yeah, so there are a lot of pieces to the finance. But God always provides, you know, but it's a very big part of it.
So Shelley, is there a website that we can go to find out about FCA? How do we do that?
Absolutely. The simplest, easiest one to check out what FCA is all about is just fca.org. And from there, you will be able to see videos of camps that we do. Those are so inspiring. Always look at those camp videos because then you'll get to really see what FCA is about. Getting our kids to camp and really getting to have that time with them. Such a huge part of FCA.
We will leave that in the show notes. And I also want to encourage you that if you live in another country outside of the US, you can still go on those camps.
Sharon, do you know that we're international? FCA is worldwide. And we just had a huge get together in San Antonio last February where every staff person from FCA all across the globe came to San Antonio. And so there were about 3,000 of us. And so we are literally an international organization. And so I would encourage you to check it out and see what's going on across the globe.
And as always, you can find all of this in the show notes. There's also the British compatriots called Christians in Sport. They do things slightly differently. But if you are based in the UK and you want to look at something in the UK, you can have a look at Christians in Sport. But as Shelley just said, the FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, is worldwide. And I know they've been doing some really fun things in Asia as well. So Shelley, I'm so grateful that you've reminded us that what we do behind the scenes counts. Every little thing we do, that when we huddle up with Jesus and make every moment count, we can remember that we are on the winning team. Shelley Small, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sharon, it was my pleasure, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share a little bit about FCA.
You've been listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, coach and FCA representative, Shelley Small. Go to fca.org to find out more about how you can be involved.
For more information and show notes, go to 61-things.com. Producer is Gary Dell, and God in the Ordinary is a Wise Word Radio 61 Things co-production.